Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Genesis chapter number 20, please. Genesis 20 and also Ephesians chapter 4. If you find those two places, Genesis 20, Ephesians chapter 4 this evening. This will be a little bit of a Bible study tonight. And I want to look at tonight, I mentioned I preached before, some of you might recognize it as we go along. But the title is The Abomination That Christians Shrug Off. There's an abomination, I believe, that many folks, that God calls an abomination, that many Christians, many people don't think anything about. Genesis chapter 20 this evening. Let's stand for reading of God's Word. One more time, we'll stand. I want to read Genesis 20. We're going to read the entire chapter. It's only 18 verses, but you'll understand then the context of the Scripture tonight and the message this evening. Genesis 20, verse number 1 says, "And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, She is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech said, But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister. And she herself said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didest this in the integrity of thine heart, for I also withheld from thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her." Pretty interesting to note that him committing adultery with this woman would have been a sin against not just Abraham and Sarah, but against God. He's talking to a heathen, by the way. Okay? Now look at verse number seven. "Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. If thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, and called all his servants, and told all these things in their ears, and all them, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, What hast thou done unto us? What have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, Because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. It came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, This is thy kindness, which thou shalt show unto me at every place, whether we shall come, say of me, He is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and manservants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham, restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleased thee. Unto Sarah he said, Behold, I have given thy brother, a little bit of a dig there, 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, He is to thee a covering of thy eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. The Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife." Look with me at this moment here at Ephesians 4:25. Ephesians 4:25, the Bible says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." I want to talk tonight about the sin of lying. It's an abomination, I believe, that most folks just shrug off, but God calls it the great sin. Lord, tonight we come to you, Father, tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, dear God, for our folks tonight that have made it tonight and able to be here. We do pray for those who are not among us tonight, perhaps because of being sick or, Lord, the weather, whatever it may be. We ask God for your help with them. We'll be with those that are working this evening. We pray for their protection as well. God, use this place. Lord, help it to be what it ought to be. Help us, Lord, to be a light to this world that we live in. And Lord, use the message tonight, I pray, to encourage the hearts of our families, our young folks. We ask tonight in your name. Amen. You may be seated. The abomination that Christians shrug off. I want to talk tonight about the sin of lying. And it's amazing to me, really, how many folks struggle with this sin. And I want to talk tonight about that as well. All right, let's go tonight through this and some scriptures this evening. Hopefully be a help to you. I want our young folks, listen up now. You young folks, listen up with me tonight. Pay real close attention this evening. This will be a help to you. Some sins are so sinful in the sight of God that God calls them an abomination. An abomination is a sin for which God has extreme hatred. It's a sin that God detests. We have this idea as people, we bought, you know, Hollywood has influenced Christianity so much in the last several years that really Christianity has become very deluded because of Hollywood and the world's influence. And the Hollywood says that all sins, and humanism say all sins are the same. Well, all sins have the same offense toward God. As far as sin is a sin, I understand that. And all sin receives the judgment of hell if not forgiven. But not every sin is the same. There are some sins that God said he hates, or some things that God calls an abomination. They are a detest. He detests them with extreme hatred, and that Christians should be aware of. And so let me give you examples. Adultery is an abomination. God said he hates it. He detests the sin of idolatry. Having idols in your life. God detests it. He wants to be the only one in your life. Idolatry. Number two is adultery. Give me back my monitor. You can't play when I'm playing. Adultery is an abomination as well. God calls it a sin that he detests. In the Bible, you find the sin of lewdness is also an abomination. You find in the Bible that sodomy is an abomination. God detests the sin of sodomy. He made male and female, all right? Now, I want you to, this is not the message tonight, but you'll notice the soft stand being taken by the church today because of the influence of the world in our lives. Once where we detest it, once we hate it, now there's grown a tolerance, even among God's people about it, that we should just look the other way and be okay with it. God says he hates it no matter what year it is. Okay, it's an abomination. We find that cheating and fraud are an abomination. God calls a false balance an abomination. God calls justifying the wicked, condemning the righteous. He detests. They're an abomination. God also calls pride an abomination. He hates it. It's a sin against God. So these are some sins that God says, I detest, I abhor, and I hate. They're an abomination. And when something's an abomination, we as Christians should take a note of that in our life. God also calls sin an abomination. It's a sin that falls in the same category of a sin that God detests. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 6, please. Proverbs chapter 6. With me at verse number 16. We'll look at several verses tonight. Keep a place in Genesis. We'll be back there off and on to the scripture tonight. Proverbs 6:16 says this. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. So there's some things that God hates. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running the mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, he that soweth discord among brethren. So God says, here are some sins that I hate, I detest, I abhor, and they're an abomination unto me, and God places the sin of lying in that category. Look with me at Proverbs 12:22. Proverbs 12:22. Here's what God says it very plainly here. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. God here says it very openly that among idolatry and adultery and lewdness and perversion and sodomy and cheating and fraud and among pride and promoting wickedness, these are all abomination. And God says that lying lips are also that he detests, that he hates, they're an abomination unto him. That God delights in truth but he hates lying lips. He hates lies. So now I want to tell you tonight that a lie is a lie. All right? Look back at our text tonight. Flip back there for a moment. We find that in our text tonight that Abraham and Sarah have this, well, this pact. We find from Scripture that Sarah was a beautiful woman. Old, but beautiful. And that Abraham was afraid that as they traveled, that they would kill him for his wife's sake and take his wife. And so they made an agreement that wherever they went, that she would say, "I'm your sister." And hopefully he would save or spare him his life. He did this a number of times, and we find it here in Gerar with Abimelech. We find here that when he was confronted, he said this, verse 12, "Yet indeed she is my sister. She's a daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife." My point tonight is this, that Sarah and Abraham was convinced that a half-lie was okay. But a lie is a lie. Dishonesty, dishonesty. I remember growing up, my parents, my mom and my stepdad, I lived with them for a few years when I was young, in the second and third grades, and I lived with them for a while, and while I'd live with them, of course, they were drinking and doing drugs, and I was around that all the time and seen that. And so they told me that when I was questioned about their habits, that I was to lie about it and not tell anybody about it. I was to give, they always kept these little white pills in a baggie in the freezer. And so when we were questioned about it, we were supposed to say that was my stepdad's prescription medication for his back. Of course, in second grade, you have no idea that prescriptions come in a brown bottle and that the little baggies in the freezer are probably not prescription pills. And they said, listen, my mom said, listen, a little white lie, if it doesn't hurt anybody, it's okay. So we're taught at a young age that white lies are not a big deal. But white lies are lies. A half a lie is still a lie. And so Abraham was guilty of a half a lie. He told a little bit of the truth to get them out of trouble, but he led them to believe something that was not entirely true. He kept back the truth by deception for his own benefit. And God said, and God chastened them for that. A lie is a lie. He says, of any kind is a lie. Half-truths are lies. White lies are lies. Leaving out the truth is a lie. Gossip is a lie. Exaggerations are a lie. Now, we are oftentimes, sometimes, especially I think men are, we're guilty of exaggerating, right? The fish I caught was this big, you know, and the one that got away was huge. And sometimes we're careful about leaving out details that are important to the story to get the facts straight. For our own benefit, and God calls that all still a lie. But tonight we think it's just a small lie or a small sin, and God says it's an abomination. And I'm afraid that oftentimes we as Christians we shrug off these abominations. We get mad about sodomy. Preach the fire out of it. Detest it, hate it. Adultery gets us wound up. Someone that has an idol tonight would not be very comfortable in this church. Sometimes these little lies that we tell one another, we kind of shrug off and God says they're an abomination to him. What is the danger of the abomination of lying? Number one is this. Lying distorts your vision. Lying distorts your vision. What do I mean by that? Look back at Genesis chapter number 20. We see verse number 2, the Bible says this, "And Abraham said unto Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah." We read in verse number 10 through 12, it says this, "And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place. They will slay me for my wife's sake. And indeed, she is my sister. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife." Lying, he's heard of Abraham's vision. You see, Abraham failed to view the sin of lying as God viewed the sin of lying. Abraham thought it as a matter of convenience. But God saw it as a whole lie. Abraham shrugged it off and God chastened it. He viewed it as an abomination. Abraham said, listen, the fear of God is not in this place, and if we don't to cover up the truth, it's going to cause us some great harm, so we have to cover up mask the truth, cover it all up. He viewed truth as a threat. He allowed his circumstance to be bigger than the truth, bigger than biblical principles. May I remind you, did not God promise Abraham and Sarah to make them a great nation? But how could he do that promise if Sarah was dead? Or Abraham was dead, Sarah was somebody else's wife. You see, lying, he sort of this vision and view of what God had promised to do with them. And so for a matter of convenience sake and circumstances sake, he chose to lie. You see, God views as a matter of righteousness and trust. And God promised him to do something for Abraham and Sarah, and they're lying is sort of their view. So now I see that many people are okay with lying if it gets them out of trouble or there is some perceived benefit. If it benefits me, I'll lie. Do you ever, we're suspicious of salesmen, right? Because, they're trying to sell you something. And so they might this car is only driven by grandma on Sundays. You go to the grocery store once a week. It's a great car. And we're suspicious of that. And we want to give me the Carfax to check up on your truth. And so sometimes we perceive that if we lie for our benefit, it's okay. We have to trust in God's promise. We can't let our circumstances become bigger than the biblical principles. Proverbs 19:22 says this. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. God said, listen, it's better to be poor than a liar. God views the poor man with more integrity, more righteousness, than he views the rich lying man. He says, it's better to face the trouble you're going to face, and face hardship, and face the need and want, than it is to be a liar. We read in Proverbs 12:22, that lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. God has no delight in lies or liars. So lying distorts your vision of what God has promised, of what God will do for you, of who God is. We think that somehow God is not able to deliver us of our troubles, so we must lie out of them. And Abraham had his view distorted. Abraham was short-sighted in his view. He was short-sighted in his view. Proverbs 12:19 says, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. So here's what I see in Genesis 20. Abraham lied to avoid one situation, temporary, but it put him in hot water down the road. He got from one situation that seemed to be, this was his own imagination. He imagined this. This is what he perceived. It was a fear, but an actual truth. He feared this. He perceived this. He thought that there's no fear of God in this place. But Abimelech had more integrity than the man of God did. And so he let his fear, his perception, his imagination get away with him. And he was short-sighted. And what he did was he avoided one problem, but God was talking to a bigger mess of problems. See, that's the problem of lying. You might avoid one situation, but it brings a bigger problem down the road later. It puts himself and others in a worse situation. He put his wife's life, his wife's integrity in danger, into question. And so when you lie to avoid the present trouble, you position yourself for bigger problems in the future. Why? Because the truth will always find you out. Lying is not forever. And so lying may avoid the trouble for a moment, but it puts you in a chastening hand of God. Remember, in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira lied about giving. About the amount they gave. This is a simple lie. About the amount that they gave to the Lord. And God killed them for lying to the Holy Spirit. And so their lie for a moment to perceive some glory or some benefit resulted in a bigger problem down the road. It's a lie. I'll tell you something. I have never saw anyone or experienced my own self as a young person that lying benefits at any time. By the way, young folks, your parents raised you. They've been with you since you've been born. They know your facial expressions. They know your cries. They know your expressions. They know your body language. They know your eyes. They know how you look. And they know when you're lying. Sometimes my parents would say, I know you're lying. I'm like, well, how do they know? How do they know? And they knew by my facial expression, by my body language. And God knows when you're lying. So lying distorts your vision. It thinks you perceive to be that somehow it'll benefit me if I lie, but always places you in greater danger of the road. And by the way, lying shortchanges God, if you will, because God has promised some things in our life, and if we lie, we're not trusting God. I want to show you this. Number two is this: lying displays your heart. Lying displays your heart. If you look at verse number 11. Abraham said this about his lie. Abraham said, because I thought surely, again, I thought, the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me. Now watch this. They will slay me for my wife's sake. Abraham was not concerned about his wife. He was concerned about his own bacon. You see, lying is a very selfish thing. Look at with me. Look, the Bible says this. Let's see here. Proverbs 26. Here it is. 26:28. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. God's saying here that a lying tongue. See, Abraham, his lie reflected who he really loved, not his wife. His first love at this point was himself. I want to save my life, my trouble. I don't want to battle. It's kind of funny here because Abraham later on, he delivered Lot Abraham went and delivered Lot from all these kings of Sodom and fought and won. Now he's here, he's worried about his own life here. And so we find here that his love was himself. And God says, when you lie to others, what you're saying is them, you're not very important to me. I love me more than I love you. In fact, God puts it stronger than I'm putting it. God says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. When you lie to somebody, what you're saying to this, and you're saying what God says here, I hate you. That's strong language, but that's what the Bible says. That when you lie to somebody and you afflict them with your lies, reveals a heart not of love but of hatred. Reveals a love for self and a hate for others. A lying displays the character and strength of your heart as well. You see, lying is too easy to start and much more difficult to stop. It displays your character. Look with me tonight at Genesis chapter 12. Let's turn back there. Lying displays really the character of your heart. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 11. And it says here in verse number 11, it says, and it came to pass when he was come near into Egypt, they said that unto Sarai his wife, behold, now I know thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife, they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. So I pray thee, thou art my sister. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. So Abraham, he was worried about himself. He was worried about himself, not about his wife, her health, her safety, her integrity, her innocence, but worried about himself. And he began to lie here. They continued on down through the years. For 20 years, he had lied about Sarah being his sister. We find that back in Genesis chapter 20, verse number 13, when he lies again. It came to pass when God calls me to wander from my father's home, I said unto her, this is thy kindness, which thou shalt show unto me at every place whether we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. Abraham, he loved himself at this point, whether he loved his wife and the Lord and integrity. So we find that Abraham for 20 years is telling kings that Sarah was his sister. A lying reveals a weak and carnal character. And so one lie flows into another. You don't know when or how to stop it. It isn't long before you are believing your own lies as well. And so lying reveals the character of your heart, who you really are. Now lying seldom ends with just one lie. You know that. Listen, if you have any experience at all with lying, it never ends with just one lie, because you have to tell more lies to cover up the first lie. Especially if you have inquisitive parents who question you. All right? What do you mean? What did you say? What happened? All these lies are coming out, and it's pretty soon you get confused and you try to tell more lies. But lying also influences others around you. Now, well, I want to show you something here tonight about Abraham. Look with me at Genesis chapter 18. We find that Abraham lied about Sarah being his sister. and his wife. Told a half-truth here, right? But I'll look at Genesis 18, verse number 9. We'll read a few verses here. This is when God, again, approaches Abraham and Sarah about them having a son. Verse number 9 says, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and low stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed with her in herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure my Lord being old also? The Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, I shall surely bear a child which I'm old. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now watch verse number 15. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. What? For what reason? For she was afraid. Why did she do that? Well, she's seen her husband do that. He was afraid. They're going to kill me from your sake and take you to be their wife. And so for my sake, Sarah, tell them that you're my sister, not my wife. Now, when Sarah was confronted by the angel of the Lord, hey, she laughed. I didn't laugh. Why? Because she was afraid. What gave her the freedom to do that? Watching her husband. The example of lying. Look at Genesis 26. Genesis 26, verse number 6 as well. Genesis 26 and verse number 6. Watch the scripture here. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Who's Isaac? Abraham's son, right? Look what he says here. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, She is my sister. For he feared to say, She is my wife. Thus said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. We heard that before, haven't we? So what happens here? Abraham, God's man, God called him a prophet, a man of God. I mean, God had promised to bless and use, got in the flesh, and got scared, was afraid what they might do to him, failed to see God's promises that God had promised to do for him, and in a moment of weakness, he lied. That lie became a lie for over 20 years, the same lie over and over again. In the process, his wife picked up on that and thought, you know, if he can lie, I can lie. When I'm afraid, it's okay. If you're afraid, if you're in danger, if you're ever threatened, it's okay to lie. So she lied. Then Isaac, this young man, watched his parents and saw his parents lie. And so when it came the time when he was afraid as well, what did he resort back to? What he was taught. Sometimes we wonder as parents, why do my kids lie? Well, let's tell you something. Parents know when kids lie, but kids know when parents lie. They know when parents lie. They know when parents come to church and act one way here, like a different way at home. They know when parents come to church and say, hey, I love the preacher, I love God's people, I love the deacons, I love the teachers, I love our church family here in God's house. But then go home and pick apart everything about the church. Criticize the preacher, the deacons, and the assistant pastor, and the music, and the lighting, and they just yap, 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 yap. And they know when parents lie. So what we teach them that it's okay to lie when it benefits you. And so lying distorts your life, and lying influences others. Number three, lying disrupts and disturbs your life. You see, lying complicates the life of others. We read back in our text in Genesis chapter 20 that lying complicates the life of others. We find that Abraham put his wife's life in danger. And Abimelech took Sarah because he had an attraction to her. What's the normal reaction? What's the normal process of events here? Well, soon he would take her to be his wife or even lay with her carnally. We find that God, of course, protected Sarah, but he put Sarah's life in danger. Abraham put Abimelech's life in danger. Here was a man who, though he might have been a pagan, didn't believe in God, but he was innocent in this matter. He put his life in danger. Think about what Christians do to the world when we lie. What we do, what we put the world in danger of. Abraham's lie impacted the innocent. Genesis chapter 12, Abraham lied about Pharaoh. And we find that result in God plaguing Pharaoh and the entire house with great plagues. You see, one thing nice about this, that one benefit I see, is that God's treatment of the heathen protected Sarah. God protected Sarah in the midst of Abraham's lies. But I do find that lying disrupts and disturbs your life and those around you. Lying hurts others. May I remind you that the Bible says that a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. So we think that lying is no big deal sometimes. If it benefits me, if it gets me gain, if it gets me out of trouble, if it keeps me where I want to be, if it's convenience, okay, but lying afflicts those that are touched by it. And so we find that lying brings the affliction of those that are lied to and lied about. Many, many men and women have been destroyed by lies. At least have cast great suspicion upon them, hurt their testimony and integrity because of those who've lied about them. It's amazing. I'm amazed that sometimes I hear people say, well, this person lied about me. It always about, like, how can people do that? Until, as a pastor, I begin to get people that will lie about me. I'm like, what in the world is going on? That's not even close to the truth. But there are some folks that they have no problem of lying about those around them. But that disrupts and disturbs the life of those around you. We find number four is this. That lying destroys your testimony. I want you to see this quote tonight, and remember this. Tell a lie once, and all your truths become questionable. That's a good principle to remember. Tell a lie once, then all your truths then become questionable. Well, I'm telling the truth. How do we know? Listen, young folks and moms and dads, it's so important to have integrity. Be honest. So what if it gets me in trouble? Be honest. My boys, I learned at an early age, if you're honest with your father and your mother, there's far less problems than if we find you in a lie. I don't know what it was about lying, but lying made my head explode. I mean, I would just lose it. When you could look at me right in your face and lie to me, just lose it. Now, I expect that from a heathen, from an enemy, wouldn't bother me, but from my own flesh and blood. People that you invest in and love and pour your life into, for them to lie. Listen, lying destroys your testimony. We find tonight, in our text tonight, that Abimelech had more honor and more integrity than Abraham did. That's a shame when the world has more integrity than God's people have. Lying puts you in bad company. Let's see here. Lying puts you in bad company. John 8:44, God says this, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Think about that tonight. Why does God hate lies so much? Because the devil fathered them. So when we lie, it puts us in the wrong kind of company, bad company. And so lying is an abomination that God does not take lightly. Now, let me conclude tonight, since none of you are shouting amen. It's not really an amen kind of message, I don't think. And I'm not always a really good teacher about some things. But tonight I want to say this in closing. When we love God and love His Word, you'll hate lying. Watch this verse. Psalms 119, 162 to 163. I rejoice at thy word. As one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Say, preacher, how can I stop lying? Get in the book. Get in the book. Love the word of God and love who God is more than you love yourself. But preacher, if I don't, no. Listen, it's always right to tell the truth, to be honest, to be have integrity, to have that character about you that God can delight truly in. And so God said, listen, the psalmist said, listen, I rejoice at thy word. I rejoice at thy word. He said, it's like I find great spoil. I see, well, preacher, spoil, what does that mean? Spoil, like spoiled food? No, like treasure. I always thought it'd be kind of fun to get a metal detector. Never had one, but I'd like to have one. I watched some people do that, you know. I always thought, you know, if I could just get one, I could maybe find some treasure somewhere and some great spoil. I could just, you know, find some rare gold coin somewhere and just strike it rich through a metal detector. Find some great spoil. Well, tonight, that should be what we teach, how we handle God's Word. We get in there and begin to use it like a try to find something and say, here's some great spoil. Here's some great treasure. I rejoice at thy word. It does me good. Because I love God's word, I hate, I abhor lying. I can't tell a lie because I love God too much. Now listen, tonight, if you said, preacher, I've never lied, we'd all be liars. Because tonight, there are some tonight you're guilty of out and out this lies. Sometimes we're guilty of half lies. We call them white lies. That's like saying a white witch. You know, what they call those, a white witch or a dark, whatever they call them, I don't know. White witchcraft. No, it's all the same. All sorcery, all evil. Sometimes we lie by deception. We just leave out certain details. She's my sister. I didn't tell you that we got married, though. Left that part out. She really is my half-sister. And we did have a wedding one day, but I didn't tell that part. So what'd you do? You let somebody believe a truth that was not fully true. And they acted upon that truth. And so tonight we find that how do I begin to tell the truth? Love God more than you love yourself. More than you love your convenience. Trust God more than you fear what man may do. Don't ever lie for convenience sake. You know, really, when you get in the habit of telling the truth because you love God, it's just who you are. But when you get in the habit of lying, I've met folks who have lied for no reason. They just lie. There's no reason to lie. But why do they do that? Because they have lied so much. They have lied about everything in their life. It's because it becomes part of their fiber, who they are. You can't trust a word that they say, and God is not pleased with that. And God says, this is an abomination, but sometimes we as people just... Listen, do you think God shrugs off sodomy? Think God shrugs off adultery and idols? Think God shrugs off perversion? God said that they'll have no part in the kingdom of God. And so God does not shrug these abominations off, and God does not say... Oh, it's no big deal. It's only a white lie. God calls it abomination. So what we should do tonight, we should view the sin of lying as God views it. Notice here God's promise. Now close with this verse. Because some of you are already tired. For he that will love life and see good days, that's what we want, right? That's what I want. I'm being selfish. I'm being a little bit carnal here. But I want to love life and see good days. I don't listen, if God is to live to me, I'm 80, I don't want to be miserable for 30 more years. Oh, this thing of Christian life, oh, it's so miserable. I hate my life and every day of my life is evil. No, I want to love life, love the pastorate, love the church, love serving God, love my family, love my wife. I want to have a thrilling life and I want to see good days. And that's not been this week sometimes. A few days this week's not been so good. But I want to see good days. So what does that mean? Here God gives us a promise. Let him refrain his tongue from evil, as if that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and eschew it, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and ears open unto their prayers. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. What comes out of your mouth matters about how you love life and how you see good days. We think, well, what I say is no big deal. God said it's everything. Listen, what you say is everything. Pastor Stark years ago, I think he started it in his church, and sometimes it would just irritate me when I would get around his people because you say something, they would say, speak life. I'm not sure who started that. I was with who's the Bartles widow? What was her name? Cheryl Bartles. And her husband was, who was his her husband? Dennis passed away. Heart cancer, right? He had cancer, passed away. So I was with Cheryl at a, was with a, there was, we had a mutual friend, and I was with her at a hospital sitting with her for a moment, and we were talking about something, and I mentioned something about somebody just in passing, and not really mean anything by it. And she said, "Preacher, speak life." And I'm like, ah, one of those people, huh? But, and everything, and I mean, we're around Cheryl, she would say that, "Speak life. Don't speak gossip, don't speak slander, don't speak negativity, speak life. Speak life into people. Speak life in situation." And Pastor Stark, I heard him, Pastor Stark, say that. Speak life. Speak life. And speak truth. Tonight, that point, whole illustration tonight is saying this, that what we do say matters. God said this. Read it again. "For he that will love life and see good days," he didn't say anything, first of all, about the heart, did he? About your pocketbook? Right? His very first mention is this, the tongue. Why? Because the tongue is a world of iniquity. Yeah. Right? Can set on fire the course of nature. Can set on fire of hell. So God said this, very first thing you want to see, you want to love life and see good days? Watch your tongue. Hate evil. Hate, he's saying this, he's saying, hate what I hate. We've come a long way from that, baby. Because we live in a world today that says, what God hates is no big deal. It's okay. But God did give us a promise tonight that if we would hate lying and watch our tongues, he'd also bless that as well. So tonight I want to, just a simple Bible study tonight. I've done it before a couple of times. Every few years I do it. Because I think that we as people, not trying to be unkind or critical of anybody, but we as people, we get the idea that lying's okay. It's amazing as a pastor, as I deal with people, how many times I encounter conflicting stories? I'm talking about all the time. Now, I'm not going to chase down gossip and chase down stories. But I'm going to tell you tonight, it's amazing how we as people sometimes think a little bit of truth, a little bit of lies, no big deal. And God says it's abomination. I encourage you tonight, be honest. Be honest. Tell the truth tonight. I thought it was kind of funny this evening. Before church tonight, Jonas came up to me and said, "Dad, what's the abomination that Christians shrug off?" I said, "I'll tell you later." And she said, he said, "Gavin thinks it's gluttony." I said, "Leave my sin alone." Listen, being fat is not always a picture of gluttony, that's for sure. But it's also, well, we'll leave it there because... I have to go to the altar if I don't, to be careful. Hey, church, I know tonight was a simple message and I kind of bumbled through a little bit. But really tonight is so important that we as Christians tell the truth. Tell the truth. God will bless that. Well, tonight we come to you in closing. Thank you, Father, for your word, the example that you've given us, the scripture, Father, many scriptures that we could have looked at as well, or that you have placed in your word about lying and about truth. God, may we see sin as you see it. Not let the world influence, Father, to take a soft stand upon it, Father. God bless tonight. I pray with our families, our young folks tonight. May we walk in the truth of your word. We pray in your name tonight. Amen.